Today is known as Lalita Shasti, and it's 2 days before the Astami, the eighth day, so it's the sixth day, actually. And somehow or other, on this Lalita Shasti, the appearance day of Srimati Lalita Devi is being observed. It's a little mysterious because in the Radha Ganadesh Deepika, Srila Rupa Goswami writes that Lalita Devi is 27 days older than Srimati Radharani. So how that time-wise comes together, I don't know. But whatever may be, in the eternal relationship, Lalita Devi is definitely 27 days older. And how on the calendar it becomes 2, that's a level of mathematics that's beyond my conception. Whatever may be. The fact of the matter is that Lalita Devi is senior to Srimati Radharani. She is the... she's actually the leader of those gopis that assist Srimati Radharani personally. And Lalita is the leader of the gopis of Srimati Radharani, and even of Srimati Radharani herself. It is mentioned that when Radha and Krishna are sometimes in disagreement with one another, that Lalita is the first one to support that and instigate that, because she is in a Vama or a left-wing mood, always kind of confronting Krishna with his shortcomings in the expression of his love, that he's not faithful, that he's really not fully dedicated. So Lalita is the first one to call Krishna to task, to expose that. And it is mentioned that on one occasion, when Radha and Krishna were in that kind of a situation where she did not want to have anything to do with him due to the fact of his unreliable nature, that Lalita reinforced it. Even so much so that when Radha and Krishna wanted to get back together, that they couldn't do so because Lalita was not allowing it. So, in the end, only when one gopi begged permission from Lalita, who gave it then, all right, then they could meet. So in this way, Lalita is an authority. Lalita is known as the, sometimes almost like the guru of Radharani, so it is said, acting socially in that way. All surrounding the appearance of Srimati Radharani in the next few days. So maybe that is why it is somehow or other together, because in a way it belongs together, these 2 days. Because Lalita is always serving Srimati Radharani and making sure that all the arrangements are perfectly made as a servant. That is the spirit of bhakti, to be a servant, to just take it as is desired by seniors, whatever is needed, whatever is desired. I have been speaking from the Hansa Dutta, and I'll also do that tonight, because that is a book which is dedicated to, well, Lalita plays a main part in that book. Just a moment, because I have to just find it for a sec. Krishna. So, Srila Rupa Goswami wrote books in the Dutta genre. Dutta means messenger. Now that was not uncommon in Bengal. The famous poet Kalidas, famous Bengali poet, he wrote a book called the Megha Dutta. And where is it now? Here. One sec, push. Okay. Looks good. At least it's the right book. Yes. That helps. So, the Megha Dutta. Megha Dutta. Megha means cloud. And the cloud messenger. So, Kalidas wrote a book where the cloud became a messenger between the devotee and Krishna. Another poet wrote a messenger book called the Manasa Dutta, where the mind became a messenger between the devotee and Krishna. So that's not easy. One can imagine that for the mind to become a messenger, so much has to be done to purify that mind from so many things. That mind is just wanting to do many other things than being a messenger of Krishna, isn't it so? So that's an interesting theme. Imagine we would have to write a story on the mind being a messenger between us and Krishna. Okay. We would enter into a huge discussion with our mind. Now listen, mind. This time, we're going to do it a little different than usual. It's not about you. You are not the central point. You're not the focus, my dear mind. You are simply an instrument. So, my God, what do you mean? I've always had the center of the attention, right? Yes, and now suddenly I have to be an instrument? So one can just imagine if we begin to describe the Manasa Dutta, the messenger of the mind. No, that book is not what we are discussing. We're discussing two messenger books tonight. One is the Hansa Dutta, the swan messenger, where Lalita found a swan messenger who could go to Krishna with a message on behalf of Srimati Radharani. And then another book known as the Uddhava Sandesh, which is also a messenger book, although it's not carrying the title Dutta, but it is about Uddhava and Uddhava's experience as a messenger. One sec. It is freezing. So. Yes, so then when Krishna was in Mathura, Krishna was on the roof of his palace. Krishna was looking at Vrindavan. And as Krishna was looking at Vrindavan, he was thinking of how he was caught in a predicament. He was remembering how at the time when Kamsa had been killed, that he wanted to go back to Vrindavan. And he remembered that then the Yadus, they said, "You cannot go, you cannot go. You have to stay here to protect your father and mother." Krishna said, "My father and mother are in Vrindavan and I'm going to Vrindavan." He said, "No, no." He said, the heavenly voice, said that the eighth son of Vasudeva and Devaki would kill Kamsa. Who killed Kamsa? You killed Kamsa. Then you are the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. And they are in trouble because now Kamsa may have been a demoniac ruler, but still he was very powerful and therefore no one dared to attack Mathura. Now it's different. Now that there's Ugrasena, who's an old king on the throne, then now who will protect? Who will protect the Yadus? It is your duty. You cannot go. Krishna would have gone anyway. He would have gone anyway. But then the next problem occurred, and the problem was that they had made him aware that indeed now many enemies would come to attack. Enemies of the Yadus would now come. And thinking about that, he was thinking, what if I go to Vrindavan now? Then they will come to Vrindavan with their armies to revenge, and they'll destroy all of Vrindavan. So keeping this in mind, Krishna could not go to Vrindavan. So he's in Mathura, he's in the palace, he doesn't want to be there. And he was standing on the roof of the palace, and he's looking at Vrindavan and thinking, what can I do? I cannot go home. He wanted to go home, but he cannot go home. So in this way, Krishna was thinking, I must send a messenger. So Krishna chose Uddhava as a messenger. As he chose Uddhava, because Uddhava was so qualified, Uddhava was learned, Uddhava was very tactful, diplomatic. He knew exactly what to say, what not to say in any given situation. And Uddhava, furthermore, was Krishna's cousin, and he looked a lot like Krishna. So Uddhava was very perfect as a messenger. Krishna had been thinking for a messenger, and he couldn't find one. Suddenly, he's thinking, yes, Uddhava. He said it's like having a jewel hanging around your neck, and you forget that it's there, and you're looking everywhere. Is there any suitable person? But the jewel was right there. Uddhava. Something like when your glasses are on your nose and you go, where are my glasses? Where are my glasses? That can happen. So, it happens. That's forgetfulness. So in this way, even Krishna sometimes forgets. He forgot Uddhava. Anyhow, Krishna sent Uddhava. And when he sent Uddhava, along a path. And if we follow that path, oh yes, at one point from Mathura, he comes close to Vrindavan, and he comes to Chatikara. Chatikara, a place where many bumblebees are assembling to collect honey from the flowers, and there Krishna also became like a bumblebee. It is said just near to there is a temple named Garuda Govinda. It is said that Sridham became Garuda, and Govinda stood on the shoulders of Garuda for 12 days. That deity is still there. And right behind, Krishna then said, you will find the Kaliya Lake, and the water is very sweet. Now that that snake is gone, now the water is very sweet. So that Kaliya Lake is very nice. And said, you must taste the water. Before it was so poisonous, now one can taste. And if we look at that, we can see that Garuda Govinda, Chatikara, Garuda Govinda, Kaliya Lake, and then that means Krishna Balaramandir. That means that behind the Krishna Balaramandir, that once was all Kaliya Lake. That's quite clear. Anyway, that's to the right, he says. If you go to the left, you'll go towards Govardhan. Like that. So we know when we go to Vrindavan. So in this way, Upa Goswami takes us into Vrindavan along with Uddhava and remembers various pastimes in different places. Slowly meditating upon Krishna's activities, as the residents of Vrindavan are just constantly remembering Krishna's activities. So the Uddhava Sandesh continues to remember Krishna's activities. Now we will shift to the Hansa Dutta. In the Hansa Dutta, it is Radharani who is the central personality. And it is Radharani who is in great separation from Krishna. And it is Radharani who is somehow or other not able to continue facing the separation of Krishna. So she is, her love for Krishna is not casual. Her interest in Krishna is beyond religiousness. Her interest in Krishna is free from any personal desire for improving the conditions of life. She is not worshipping Krishna to get blessings, or only one blessing, that she may serve Krishna. But not otherwise, no blessings. Not looking for improvement of her conditions or anything like that. Srimati Radharani is attached to Krishna only. She's not worshipping Krishna to get anything else. She's not praying to Krishna, give me peace of mind, give me strength, please heal my disease, please make my life smooth and easy, let nothing happen. No, Srimati Radharani is only praying to Krishna for being able to serve him and please him. That's her only interest. Now Krishna had gone to Mathura. Now Srimati Radharani was greatly unhappy, knowing that Krishna could never be happy. Could never be happy. So she was in separation from Krishna, from being able to serve Krishna and please Krishna. And she was, therefore it is said, on the verge of death. But not dying, because what if Krishna would come to Vrindavan and find her death, her dead? He would be very, very depressed upon seeing. So then we get Lalita. Lalita is trying to deal with the situations. Together with a group of gopis, they have arranged a bed of lotus stems which are cooling. And they're fanning Srimati Radharani with lotuses that are like moistened, so that, again, they cool and to relieve the heat of separation. And Radharani had just been relieved from suffering by her friend unconsciousness. Just then, Lalita went to the Yamuna to bring some cold water and found the swan. So let us see what happens with that swan. Nidayanke panke ruha dalavitam kasyalalita tato radam niraharana sadana nyastat charana milantam kalinipulina buvikilam chitagatim tadar sagre kanchin madura virutam sweta garutam. Sweta garuta means a swan, a white swan. So on the shore, on the Yamuna shore, she saw a graceful and beautiful moving white swan approach her. Tadalo kusto kuchosita vidya sadaramaso prananam sansanti lagu lagu samsarya samvidam ditokanta sadyo hari sadasi sande saharane varam dutam menetam atilalitam antaralita. Her heart, encouraged by seeing the swan, anxious Lalita cautiously approached it, respectfully bowed before it, and praised it. She thought the graceful swan an ideal messenger to carry a letter to Lord Hari's assemble. Wrapped in the anger of love for Krishna, she told the swan of her desires. She's not at fault for speaking to a bird. Where will a girl overcome with love for Lord Hari not place her faith? Pavitresu prayo virachaya situyesu vasatin pramodam nalike vasi visadatma svayamasi atoham dukarta saranam balatum gatavati nayan sa satpakse vrajatihi kadacit vifalatam. You live in pure waters. You find happiness among the lotus stems. Your heart is pure. For this reason, I, a very unhappy woman, take shelter of you. A request to a saintly person is never fruitless. So this is a nice point, that a request to a saintly person is never fruitless. Because a saintly person is not self-centered. A saintly person is not interested in personal enjoyment. A saintly person is serving Krishna, and as a servant of Krishna is trying to connect everyone to Krishna, and in that way is trying to lift everyone up. A saintly person, a very selfless type of existence. So how can a saintly person refuse? Maybe there are different kinds of saintly persons. Those who are completely spotless and pure, who have no other desire than to serve Krishna. Maybe Uddhava. Uddhava was such a messenger, such a servant of Krishna, because it is described in the Nectar of Devotion that Uddhava had no material desire. Uddhava is the personification of bhakti. Uddhava, when he came to Vrindavan and met Nanda and Yasoda, and he spoke the whole night to them about Krishna. But when the morning came, then Uddhava immediately felt that he had to now do his morning duties and start his worship of Krishna. So he excused himself. Uddhava is such a devotee. It is said that once when Uddhava saw a beautiful girl, he was surprised. He said, "My mind is attracted to this girl. How is it possible?" I think it must be Krishna dressed up like a girl. And it was. So we can see the purity of Uddhava's mind. But what if the mind is not so pure? The swan, although a saintly person, was certainly not on that level. The swan was, as a messenger, was not perfect. The swan had apparently some other interest. But Lalita was trying to awaken the interest in just the service of Krishna. Forget a personal agenda. Forget other ideas now. This is a higher path that which I am offering, was Lalita's mood. So we can see how Lalita is representing the pure devotee, the pure representative of Krishna, of Radha and Krishna, who is then like a spiritual master, presenting a higher path, a greater achievement in life than we would go or have by pursuing our own plans. Everyone, so many plans, so many ideas, so many desires, so many irons in the fire, so many things going on, just now cooking, and could produce results soon, very balanced, very careful, very calculated, we are proceeding in that way, with our own agenda. In the middle of that comes the pure devotee of Krishna. We see that the pure devotee of Krishna looks at the swan and is seeing in the swan a potential. The pure devotee sees a potential in the swan. The swan itself may not see it like that. Anyway, Lalita continues.
Chiram vishvatyasman virahadana jalavikala kalavan sanandan vasati maturyam maduripu tadaitam sandesam samanasi samadhyanikilam bhavan kshipram tasya sravana padavim sangamayatu.
Forgetting us who are tormented by the flames of separation from him, artistic Krishna happily lives in Mathura. Artistic Krishna, that means it's sort of a sneer, that's a sarcastic remark, because Krishna, after all, is now in Mathura with those queens, right, who dress very elegantly and so on. And of course, artistic Krishna is drawn to that. It's natural. He has a taste for these finer things which are available in the city of Mathura, not in the village of Vrindavan. See, therefore, he's there. He happily lives in Mathura. Please place this message in your heart and at once put it on the path to his ears. So here the pure devotee is trying to place a message into the heart of someone who is really not so sure that they want to be a messenger in the first place. And it's very interesting to see the parallel between Srila Prabhupada who comes and with a message, yes, and who is trying to get his followers to just take that message to heart, and is basically trying that. But who is and to what extent are we taking that message to heart? Yeah, I want to serve Prabhupada. Yeah, definitely. But I also have ... And all these dots are the obstacles. I have also so many obstacles that actually keep me from placing this message fully in my heart as my life and soul. Exactly as Prabhupada did. He himself was the perfect messenger. And Lalita continues, may all obstacles be cast aside. May your path be easy. Placing happiness and mercy in your heart, rise at once. So here we begin. May all obstacles be cast aside. So this is the prayer. The prayer of the spiritual master who is praying, may all obstacles be cast aside for you. May your spiritual path be very easy. May it all just disappear. And placing happiness and mercy in your heart. See, these two things. Without happiness, what kind of mercy can there be? First, happiness. Genuine happiness in Krishna consciousness, then with a higher taste, yes, then one can give. Then one can give generously and genuinely. Then one can give the real thing. Not some propaganda, not just, of course, repeating. Repeating what one has heard is always potent. But when that same thing, that same transcendental knowledge is spoken with realization and happiness, then that transcendental knowledge gains in potency and the mercy increases manifold. Then it can establish great faith. It is said that a devotee who is himself a neophyte, he cannot give firm faith to others. Such a person who has very weak faith himself, how much faith can he give to others? That simply the process of devotional service can lift us above the affliction of the material energy. But one who is situated in Nista, who has firm determination and actually is inspired in Krishna consciousness, or such a devotee, he can give Shraddha, he can give faith. When he preaches to others or introduces Krishna to others, they get faith. One who has taste, one who has ruchi or ashakti or attachment to Krishna, can share his eagerness, can share that taste and touch others' hearts. And they can even go further. They can go beyond the initial faith and even take up devotional service with faith and begin the process actively. And it said, one who is in Krishna praying, there is no limit to what such a devotee can give. A devotee who is in Krishna praying can even bring others up to the level of love of God. Just like that. Yeah, of course. What shall we say? So we are looking further at Lalita. Lalita is describing the road. Kaladbaspa sara pluta davala ganna mrigadriso ve jujante yatra prabala madana visa vivasaha taya vigyata vyaharicharan sang pranayino dhruvam sa chagangi rati sakya sam satangasya padavi. O passionate lover of your swan mate, go by the path of the chariot touched by Lord Hari's feet, a path where the deer-eyed gopis, a flood of tears streaming down their pale cheeks, were tortured by Kamadev. So Lalita can appreciate that the swan is not able to understand the elevated sentiments that the gopis are experiencing. It's not possible for this swan. Therefore, Lalita is then thinking, well, the swan itself has its own experiences of love, not on the level of love of God, but attachment to the swan mate. So maybe thinking about that, the swan can understand what the gopis are going through. And in this way, Lalita is appealing to the compassion in the swan. Because after all, it's not sure that the swan's going to do it. She's trying to convince this swan, yes, take up this devotional service, but it's not sure. I'm here and there sampling some verses. Balat akradanti ratnapatikam akrura militam vidurat eviritati ranuya yoyena ramanam tamadu pantanam rachya charitarta bhavatude virajanti sarvopari paramaham sristitirayam. Fly over the path where the passionately crying gopis followed their lover as he went on a crudest chariot, and you will become the greatest of swans. So the greatest of swans obviously is here, it says Paramahansa Stitir Ayam. So go the path that Krishna went. And it is as simple as that. If we just look whatever path Krishna went, that's what we do, that's our business. Find out, what did Krishna do? Where did Krishna stay? If we just do that, spend our time with that, just ask those questions. What did Krishna do? Where did he stay? What did he do then? Then everything, yes, these are the questions. And if we follow the path where Krishna went, and in this way, it said if we follow that path, automatically we become Paramahansas. Because wherever there is Krishna, there is victory wherever there is Krishna. Surely, Krishna will surely attract us. Krishna is all attractive. There's no doubt about it. See, it's Krishna consciousness will be victorious because Krishna will protect us, will attract us if we simply turn to Krishna. So if we go the path that Krishna went, in our mind or physically, that's the same, then that will draw us to Krishna. And surely, when we get drawn to Krishna, then who cares for the material world? Who cares for anything in this world? Then forget this world. Sometimes Prabhupada said that the whole material world is an anartha. He spoke, anarthas means stumbling blocks on the path of spiritual advancement. The whole material world is an anartha. Well, of course, one can engage it in the service of Krishna to some extent. We are not very powerful, so how much of the material energy can we engage in the service of Krishna? So a little bit we engage, and that becomes spiritualized, and the rest we ignore as Maya. We just ignore it. But when we serve Krishna, we become attracted to Krishna. So Lalita is also counting on that. Yeah? She's counting on that principle that the swan will be attracted to Krishna. Therefore, she sends the swan along this path and says, Akasmat asmakam harira paharam am sukakchayam yamaruda guru pranaya laharim kandalaitam bhavana gretasminavadala kadambena nivide kadambe kandem kadambeshwara pativilambam rachayato. O king of swans, please stay for a moment on this kadamba tree full of new leaves. The tree Lord Hari climbed when to flood us with waves of secret love, he suddenly stole our garments. Okay. So, first of all, king of swans. A little flattery always helps to make someone feel important. So, all right. Please stay for a moment on this kadamba tree full of new leaves. New leaves now. So we can understand there are new leaves because so much time has gone by since Krishna sat in that tree. So much time. Now new leaves are growing on that tree. Long ago, actually, Krishna was sitting in that tree. Yes, long ago, he stole the clothes of the gopis to, in this way, accept them as in marriage, actually. Yes, in an informal marriage, because in this way the gopis naturally remember that as an important highlight. So stay for a moment on this tree. Just by being in such places, one gets purified, and one gradually becomes also one's love for Krishna is also awakened little by little. So Lalita is counting on that the places where Krishna performed his pastimes, which are invested with transcendental energy, will purify the swan, without a doubt. Not considering the condition of the swan. It doesn't matter. Lalita is not doing psychoanalysis on the swan. She doesn't look at the swan, well, what is your particular condition of mind? What is, what did you go through? I mean, what were your swan parents like? In what kind of neighborhood did you grow up, really? Did your big swan father beat you with his big wing at times? Or, and did you have any swan brothers and swan sisters? And what did they do to you? and what are your traumas, etc. Let's talk about it. No, Lalita did not do that at all. Because Lalita knew the potency of those places where Krishna performed his pastimes and where Krishna engaged in his activities of transcendental mercy. She knew that those places were totally invested with transcendental power, and that no matter how crazy the mind of the swan was, how bad the karma of the swan was, it was all insignificant. Lalita understood that. Therefore, Lalita knew this, that let the swan somehow go this way. Kiranti lavanya disi disi sikandi stabakino dadana sadiyakanaka vimala jyoti vasanam tamala shemangi sarala murali jumbita muki jago chitram yatra prakata paramananda lahari taya buya kritar dabasa vilasat balavavadu Vapurvalibhyasyan mrigamadakana shalikaya Vidatavyo halisaka dalita manilatikaya Samantat ulasastava manasi rasastalikaya. The Ras Lila place, a place where dancing broke to jasmine vines, a place dark with musk, fallen from the fine forms of the splendid and playful gopis, a place where a person, crowned with peacock feathers, dressed in garments splendid as gold, his limbs dark as a tamal tree, filling all directions with glorious handsomeness, flooding the world with waves of bliss, and his mouth, kissing a simple flute, made wonderful music, will put joy in your heart. And then she expresses anxiety that when the swan will see that place, that the swan may become so much filled with bliss, when by seeing it you become so filled with bliss that you forget your mission. So, therefore, Lalita says, don't place your eyes on that place where the Lord performed his amorous pastimes, because you'll become filled with bliss and you forget your mission, and the gopis will perish. But then in the next verse, Lalita is saying that even though my desires may be held up by the delay, see this place of Lord Hari's pastimes. Friend, may your purity not go in vain. What virtue will not make the mind enter Lord Krishna? So we can see Lalita is initially she said, no, don't go. Don't go to that place, because you'll become distracted, you'll become ecstatic there, and you never want to leave, and you forget your service. But then, no. How can I deny you that? That unique taste should not be denied to anyone. Everyone has a right. Everyone has a right to awaken love of God. Everyone. It should not be denied to you either. It is not that we are an exclusive club, the gopis, who have the monopoly to love, and everyone else is simply our messenger. No. The messenger also shares in that same love. In that same love, and must share. Therefore, the messenger, all right, stay in that place. All right, experience it yourself. But then, please, please, don't forget your mission. Please. Please, relish spiritual life. Enjoy, relish your places where Krishna performed pastimes. Relish everything in Krishna consciousness. Relish. But then, don't forget who you are. That you are a messenger. Don't forget. You're a messenger. You're not there to just go and be in these places and relish the transcendental experience, no, you are a messenger. That is the point. That is the mission. Remain a messenger. So this is very nice that we are considering this, being a messenger. Being a messenger means that, the main thing is that the message reaches. A messenger cannot say, oh, the road is so difficult, oh, I'm so tired. No. The message must reach. You know, after you can say, oh, I'm so tired. Once the message is delivered, then be tired.
Right.
Then be exhausted, but not while the message is not delivered. Oh, no, that's not possible. The message must be delivered before anything. Otherwise, everything forgot, everything useless. When you do the newspapers, then it must be done. Yeah, the papers are not delivered, then useless. Messages must be delivered. So yes, Krishna's message must be delivered. Prabhupada made it very clear. Prabhupada came to this world as a messenger, completely, and dedicated his whole life to being a messenger, and humbly requested us to be messengers so that we would assist him. He alone, of course, did more to spread the message than all of us are doing together. But still, everyone has to take something of the message and carry it a bit further along the way. He carried it with giant steps in enormous quantities. We carry little drops of mercy. But at least something, a messenger we must be. That is the first principle. All right, I'm going to jump. So in the first part of the of this narration, Lalita is trying to give the serpent, or giving the swan arguments for becoming the messenger. And then, in the second part, Lalita is trying to, is getting the message across. So first part is about convincing the swan, showing the way, giving some incentives. If you go this place, you get some benefits. At that place, you get some benefits. At one point, at Akshay Vat, there is a banyan tree, and then it is described how the swan can rest there on the branches for a moment, and that this tree is none different from Vishnu, and that the full moon that is shining behind the tree is like the disc of Lord Vishnu, and that the swan is representing the conch of Lord Vishnu. And then you can think of the other emblems. So in this way, the tree represents Lord Vishnu. So everything on the journey is favorable for awakening transcendental consciousness. There will be many such experiences on the way, full of inspiration. There is no doubt about it. So it's not that the swan will be left alone without nourishment on a mission which is just, that the swan is just asked to be a messenger, and that the swan will not get any spiritual strength on the way. No. Lalita is reassuring there will be many, many sources of spiritual inspiration on the way. So go forward with full faith. Do not fear. Continue. You will get so much benefit. That is being pointed out. But then the next point is where it is described. Now the message. And the message is, of course, one describing the separation of Srimata Radharani. And that goes on for quite some time. And because we don't have so much time to read a whole book, I'm going towards the end of the book. In the end of the book, Lalita begins to, in quite an expert way, use the Das Avatar. I'm just almost there. Oh, here's one. Okay. I think there's something. Yeah, one sec. Okay. All right, here we go. Chirat antarbutanara hari mahi mutiravitas tadiyo vyaparastavatuna yayo vismitipatam vinita praradastam ya parama krure charite prasaktu yadbuya parariya vidam janayi. No, janayati. Although your form of Lord Srinidev has long since disappeared, it has not walked on the path of being forgotten. You, who are pleased with the humble, are still inclined to act cruelly and break others' hearts. So in this way, Krishna is now being accused that a little bit of the Nrisingadev spirit remained in him, and that therefore he is still cruel. Just see. Yat atmanam darpat aganita guru vamana muda mano rajena jam toi balita kalpitavati prapeditasyenam vanam uchitam eva priyasake viduriyat ksipta pranayamaya pase nigadita. O Vamana, proudly ignoring her superiors, my dear friend happily offered to you the kingdom of her heart. She attained an appropriate result. You bound her with ropes of love and drew her far away. We may remember how Lord Vamana was approaching Bali Maharaj, who was seated on the throne of Indra, controlling the three worlds. And Vamana came as this little brahmachari and begged for three steps of land. With two steps, took the whole universe. Third step, where shall I put it? Put it on my head. Then he was not satisfied. And then, although Bali Maharaj had given everything he had, and he had so much, he had given everything, he was tied up in a snake rope. And there he was strangled and suffocated and hanging for a long time. And he got no mercy from Lord Vamana Dev. Only at the end, when Lord Brahma and Aditi, Vamanadeva's mother, personally came and asked, okay, when his mother came, you know, what could he say? Mother said, let him go. Come on. And your mother says, let him go. What are you going to do? You know, let him go. Finally, let him go. Then Brahma, you know, like the grandfather of the universe, came also. So, okay. Then Vamana knew, okay, the party is over. Gotta let him go. But you can see that Krishna was still a little bit like Vamana. Because, proudly ignoring her superiors, my dear friend happily offered you the kingdom of her heart. She attained an appropriate result. You bound her with ropes of love and threw her far away. Nirandagavaschiram upasita dusana kulai karayante sajyo ragutilaka govadana tata viradvatman gosavrajati bhavadiya pravasanat idanim marichasputam iha narinanti paritaha. O Tilak Mark of the Ragus, now that you have left, the cows are tortured by Dusana's friends. Govardhan Hill is haunted by the demon Kara. The land is conquered by Virada, and the demon Maricha again and again dances everywhere. So you can understand the whole land of Vrindavan has become dry, basically. You remember how where the different demons were there in the Ramayana and all became dry and miserable. Exactly like that. Vrindavan has become withered and dry now that you are not there. What's the meaning of Vrindavan without Krishna? So,
prasana kale yam punarudaitum rama bhajane vilasinna japisputam manaparadavayam api vitanvana kintim vapusi saradakasa valitam kuto natvam siradvaja bhajasi vrindavanam idam.
O Balaram, O holder of the plough, why do you not come to Vrindavan and show us the autumn cloud glory of your form and happily throw the ass demons far away? O playful one, we have not offended you.
Naragam sarvigya kvacit api vidatte rati patim muhurdvasti droham kalayati balat istavidaye chiram jana shakta nivasati sadasa gataratis tatapyasyam hamo sadayarida tam nadasyas dayase.
Even though she doesn't love anyone, she always hates Kamadev, she forcibly rejects all material desires, she's always wrapped in meditation, and she's filled with spiritual bliss. O all-knowing Buddha, O merciful heart, you're still not kind to her. I'll skip some Sanskrit because time flies. O Kalki, seated on your horse and with the bee-covered vine of your sword, killing the suffering barbarians, you see from the corner of your eyes, please make the saintly devotees happy.
Well, so like this, we can see a little bit about the how Lalita is speaking. Right? Here in these verses, we have a sample of Lalita's mood, written by Srila Rupa Goswami. Lalita is the is one of the Astasakis and the principal leader of the Astasakis, it is said these Astasakis are expansions of Srimata Radharani, and therefore they are Shakti Tattva. Then these Sakis are served by Jivas, by devotees, who are in the Gopi Swarup, and who are Manjaris. They are particularly assisting the Sakis in pleasing Radharani. So the leader of the Manjaris is Rupa Manjari, who is the direct servant of Lalita Devi. And it is Rupa Goswami who is none other than Rupa Manjari. And Rupa Goswami is the principal acharya of our sampradaya. We are Rupanugas. We are meant to be followers in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. So see the internal relationship that is happening here. Understand that Rupa Goswami is expressing the mood of Lalita and is expressing what Lalita is actually saying and going through here in this particular book. Therefore, this is the perfect book on Lalita Shasti to discuss, because it doesn't just give some external details such as Lalita is 27 days older than Radharani, she wears a peacock dress and these kind of things, which are also very nice. Her birthplace is in Unchagaon near Varsana and so on. In this way we can discuss, but now, in this work, we are discussing the mood of Lalita and how she speaks. And we've been listening to her words, as it's actually one big monologue. She is just speaking. Nothing else happens. The swan never flies. You wonder, did the swan actually go or not? No, that we'll never know. Did the swan actually take it to be a messenger? We don't know. Maybe. Maybe the swan did it, maybe not. Well, actually, in the middle of the story, there was a place where it is mentioned that when people will see you, they will think that Lord Brahma has come, because he comes on a swan carrier. So they'll think that Lord Brahma has come. Yes. So they'll mistake you for that swan. But actually, you're not that swan. No. Our swan is not that swan. Our swan is a simple messenger. Not the swan of Brahma. No. Our swan is, in a way, an ordinary swan. But our swan is a chosen one. Chosen by Lalita. So the claim of fame of our swan is that it is the swan chosen by Lalita, or the jiva, the living being who is chosen by the superior Vaishnava. Such a jiva is even greater than the swan of Brahma. Such a jiva is greater than the devatas, because such a jiva can attain the highest position in the spiritual world, even although such a jiva may come from the most fallen background. So that is our swan. That is the mercy that we can receive. So with that, I will close my sampling of the Lalita Madhava. There are 140 verses. I covered maybe 20. But sampling from here and there. So we missed a lot, but what to do? We are in the material world, the realm of time. So if anyone has a question or a comment, you're most welcome. Yes, my friend. Could you speak a little loud, because I can't hear you.
Lord Brahma requested four heads because the giant had an edge of service. So the swan still remains with Sarah's rusty. We always keep our own things before we begin spiritual.
That's a comment. Well, yes. Lord Brahma is also a jiva. Lord Brahma is bestowing mercy upon all living beings in the universe. He's Pitama, he's the grandfather. So in this way, he is trying to shower mercy on all the conditioned souls within the universe. But when Lalita came in the picture, it went to another level. Because Lord Brahma, even after meditating for 60,000 years to the dust at the lotus feet of the gopis, could still not understand the dust, how the dust attained that position at the lotus feet of the gopis. So, therefore, we are now talking about Lalita. She is the principal personality in this narrative. Anyone else? I'm always trying to hear what you say and I can never hear you.
You were mentioning how the Lalita was praying the obstacles in the path of the swan. But the swan still has a choice.
Yeah.
To listen to her.
Yeah.
She is the swan stubbornly refuses. What happens to Lalita's blessings?
Yeah. Well, the blessings are still there, but if the swan stubbornly refuses, so many extra obstacles may come. Right? The prayer to remove those obstacles will still remain. That will always remain. That's unconditional, that prayer. But the swan may add so many extra obstacles. Yeah. For example, if you commit nam aparad, then that will bring new anarthas, it is said. Yeah. So we can create so many new obstacles on the path in the cause of offenses and so on and so on. So that will slow down the progress. It will not. The mercy of the superior Vaishnava will stay, will not go away. The prayer of Lalita, it was there and it stays there. But still, yeah, if the swan is like again is not surrendering, then it's like the baiting of the elephant. One comes out of the water and throws dust on the body. So new dirt. I have to start again to wash that off as well. So yeah. Independent swans, they have to swim for a long time on the waves of the river. And swans that forget to be messengers, yeah, we don't know how long it will take before they will be reminded and before they will again resume their devotional service, but they will. Once one has been blessed, it goes on. So one must be careful and diligent not to waste the opportunity. It's very valuable. So, and with time, we begin to realize that, you see. In the beginning, we say, oh, what can I do? I am weak. But then time moves along. And I say, oh, what can I do? I'm still weak. I'm trying. Time moves along. And then, you know, time is running out and I'm still weak. And then one gets that thing, now at the end, now I have to try. So at the end, one often sees like a last serious attempt, and then there's all chance that the person is successful after, that the swan is successful after all. Even the stubborn swans saved at last. Any other questions? Comments? Okay. Then we thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Lalita Shasti ki jai.